If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Top of the morning, it's your boy Darren Green, host of the Darren Green Show. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Hey, what is going on? Look, okay, it has definitely been a minute since I've been on here. I feel like I always find myself saying that because something goes down and I have to take a goddamn break and I just be so mad because there's so many topics that I want to talk about. Things be happening, child. I had a whole sinus infection, okay? I'm over here still with my tea. You know, I love my, this is a apple cider, not apple cider, but it's like an apple tea. Hold on. Good for my throat, child, because I still got the sinus right here. I still got the sore throat and mucus and stuff and had to take a dang DayQuil that done kicked in for the next 6 hours. So we are ready to come back to the show because we have a lot to get into. I do want to mention that the Darren Green TV YouTube channel has reached 8,000 subscribers. So hello, how y'all doing? What's going on? Hope you guys enjoy the show and glad that you guys came up in here and you're showing up and you're showing out. Okay. Audio listeners as well. Y'all are showing up and showing out. And I'm pretty sure the real you radio listeners on Monday is tuning in and doing getting their whole life. Okay. You know, we have a lot to get into. Okay. Now, I don't want to waste your time any longer, child. We have to get into the things. I want to talk about Timothée Chalamet and how he put his foot in his mouth, okay, by talking about the ballet and opera communities. This is hot on the press, so we have to talk about Dwight Howard's wife. Yeah, she gets on her social media platforms and she airs out the dirty laundry that's been going on between her and husband Dwight Howard. CPS done took the kids. It's like really, really, really bad. Okay. A lot is going on over there. This is hot on the press. Like I just added this to my notes. So I need you guys to bear with me for a little bit because girl, it definitely is a lot. We also have to talk about the Breakfast Club and how they on the chopping block, honey. They are on the chopping block. Britney Spears was arrested. I'm like, what is all this is going on this week, child? Matthew Knowles put his foot in his mouth. Child, we'll get into that a little bit later. Nicki Minaj's sister is just an embarrassment. Okay. All that and more coming up on the team.
Now, this is the Darren Green Show.
Okay. Now, since this is hot on the press, I will start off with the Amy Lucine. Now, it's so crazy how I really do be butchering people's names, but I literally was saying this girl's name because I make it a habit before I start recording to say their name so I know how to pronounce it. Amy Luciana. Luciana. Okay, Luciana. Yeah. Anyway, Amy Luciana got on her social platforms to air out her situation with her husband, Dwight Howard. Okay, she breaks down in tears, talking about their marital issues, claims that CPS has taken her stepdaughter and accused Howard of drug use and coercing their stepson to lie for an alibi. We're going to play what she said. I'm not going to play the whole thing. It was a whole 5 minutes of her just crying and weeping and doing all and cackling and doing all that type stuff. So we're going to play that somewhere in this in post. And then I'm going to come back and tell y'all what the thing, what the dealio is. Okay.
To know me, you know I am so prideful and so private. It hurt me so bad to have to even protect myself in this type of way. But my marriage has landed me in a very dangerous position. My stepdaughter was just taken by CPS because of her father. CPS and the police have been here 3 times in less than 3 months, and I stood in it with my husband, even though I was scared for my own self. Whatever he wanted me to say, whatever it was, I'm thinking this is my husband. I had everybody around me saying, even after I tried to divorce him the first time, everybody around me says, you can't leave your husband this soon. You said through sickness, through health, through this, you said through good or bad. That's why I came back, but this is going way too far. But it's not even about me, it's about the kids. The stuff that I have to go through with the kids, I have to be witnesses to. I'm at the police at the house. They ask me questions. I don't know how. Do I lie for my husband? I've never been married before. He was coaching our son to lie on me, and I had to record it. And it's this shit. I try to tell everybody he needs some help. And ain't nobody would have fucking listened because he got the money. I can't say whatever y'all don't understand. I live with him. He needs some help. And this is it. This is what I'm fucking losing my fucking marriage to. This shit right here. I told everybody, y'all gotta help him. He is spiraling. I'm in here with him. I'm trying to love him through it.
So my whole thing is, girl, you showed us this goddamn grocery bag to sit there and say, this is what I'm losing my husband for. This is what I'm losing my husband for. Girl, what was, girl, this, if you don't get this, now, from my understanding, this girl is from Love and Hip Hop, so I get the theatrics. But girl, not you put the stuff in your hand and was like, this is what I'm like, girl, this was, girl. This is definitely serious. So you've been lying to the CPS for the, like, they've been coming over the house in the span of 3 months. They came over 3 times. Third time, that's when they took the kid. You've been lying to them in support of your man for 3 months. And it wasn't until, if I'm not mistaken, it wasn't until he started coaching the stepson to make lies on you. That's when you jumped into action and was like, yeah, no, we got to do something. And he's sick and he's not well. And this, that, and the third. When all the while y'all clown Royce Reed. You get what I'm saying? For outing this man because of his drug use. It was a lot of other things that she talked about. She talked about this man being very abusive to the stepson. I mean, disciplining him a little bit too much than usual and all that other stuff. And having people over, having men over. You get what I'm saying? Around you. And my whole thing is, you got your secret life. That's your secret life. But when you start adding the kids into it and, you know, you bringing people home, all these people every time Dick and Harry and your kids is at home trying to, you know, live life. It's just weird. Now, my whole thing is, why was CPS even there? Because let me tell you something, and let's be frank. There's a lot of parents be doing drugs when they have kids all the time. So my whole thing is, why was CPS called? Somebody called. I mean, did somebody call in for a tip? Like, I mean, I'm pretty sure you guys have like people that do stuff with the house. So they probably are seeing things and they probably made an anonymous tip or whatever the case is. But like, why was CPS there? Why did CPS take that child? What's going on? I feel like there's more to the story that she's telling us. I think it's more than him just doing drugs. Because like I said, like parents be, and I think it's wrong, but parents be doing drugs when they have kids all the time. Look, I don't think that he is doing the line in front of the kids. I'm pretty sure he's in his own private study room or whatever. I would like to hope that's the case and he's doing his dirt or whatever. But like, why did it get to a point where it's involving CPS and now the cops? Like, I feel like there's something that's being done to the kids. And look, that was always a rumor, especially when it came to that stepson. I'm not trying to sit there and place like some type of accusations. We don't know. This is, you know, what I'm inferring. I'm thinking that there is more to this story. And I'm also saying that to the Amy girl, Amy Luisiani, I don't feel any sympathy because you sat there and you laughed at Royce Reed, and Royce Reed got her little get back because she was also. Very vocal about, you know, her situation. She did a couple videos and she said at the end of the day, well, I'm still blocked. So I don't know what's going on over there, but I told y'all. And until y'all do right by me, she did the whole, she did the Color Purple on E-Hoes. And she did respond to some people saying that she wasn't taking it serious because she did appear to be like gloating and kind of laughing. And she said, who's laughing? This is sad AF. These kids never should have been in his custody. And she knew that. Look at the past. She allowed it. She condoned it. She participated in it, crying now because she's caught him lying on her. It's selfish AF. If it was about the kids, she should have opened her damn mouth a long time ago instead of leaving them for weeks to fend for themselves while you went to trips overseas. So was that the tea? Is it like you leaving the kids to their own devices or whatever? And see, this is crazy. See, Royce Reed is definitely, she made a lot of Insta story posts and she also made some videos. I wasn't going to share it because I'm just like, girl, it's just a little bit too redundant and still kind of new. We will see how this plays out, but you know, this is definitely a very, very, very weird exchange. I mean, her crying the way that she did, I just feel like there's just something more to this story. I feel like there's something else that happened that she saw in horror and she felt like she needs to tell this to the internet. Now, the internet is not on your side because you played to pick me. You played to pick me and you sat there and you made fun of Royce Reed and now you're going through the same thing she's going through, that she went through. Look how that cookie crumbles. It don't feel too good, right? Yeah. So, I mean, people don't feel bad. I mean, I when I saw her video, I don't really know too much about this situation, this saga. I did kind of feel bad. But if what the people are saying is true, I mean, like, girl, you sat there and you did nothing. And you lied to CPS and you lied to the cops, likely in support of him. And he tried to lie on you. You put your trust in him. Stupid hoe, how you feel? In the words of T.S. Madison. Yeah, so like I said, we will see how this plays out and we will get back with you with more information. Let's move on, honey. Now, I do want to talk about Beyonce daddy, Matthew Knowles. Now, I feel like I gotta be, because, you know, for the We Are You Radio listeners that we had him on the show, you know, Tracks and Conversations, shout out to them. But he kind of put his foot in his mouth and I got to talk about it. Like, you know, I'm not going to not talk about it. You get what I'm saying? So basically, Matthews is now evaluating legal remedies after a video went viral in which he appears to dismiss his ex-wife, Tina Knowles' work. In a leaked clip published by Page Six, the news anchor Candace Gibson mentioned to Knowles the contributions that Tina Knowles made to the success of their daughter Beyonce, to which Matthews replied, "What work did she put in?" Oh, let's play it. Let me play it, honey.
You've earned your flowers. And I've said the same thing to Ms. Tina Knowles. You guys put in the work, and obviously the talent was there with your kids and your grandkids.
What work did she put in?
In the hair.
Okay. Clothing, you're absolutely right. The styling.
The styling. The
imaging. You're right.
She claimed to have preyed on the name. And different aspects of that.
Sure. Sure.
So, yeah. It's a joint effort.
We'll stop now.
Yeah. Sorry, did I say something wrong?
No. We're good.
All right.
We're good.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it.
Okay, so y'all saw that. Now, also, he recently got into another interview where he explained what he meant, because a lot of people was like, Tina Knowles' contribution was very much valid. I mean, y'all both contributed to this person, whether one person's contributions was more than the other, and no one is taking that away from Matthew. You know, people said what they said. This was his response. He tried to backpedal and pussy pop. Let's watch this.
I think I calmly, what I said, and I'm actually quoting, what work did she put in? It was a question. I don't do interviews, Carlos. I have conversations.
Yeah.
And I have the right, as you know, my college professor. I didn't know what he meant by that. So I'm saying calmly, what work did she put in? That was a question. I don't know how that became a comment, but it was a question. And then the gentleman went on to say her hair. Well, Tina did way more than just her hair. And if you look at the interview, I said her hair. No, she did the styling, built the image for Destiny's Child. When you agree that's way more than just saying someone did the hair?
No, absolutely. I think a lot of people are familiar with Destiny's Child's story. I mean, they're one of the biggest female groups of all time. And so I think a lot of people felt like it was an awkward moment. It certainly appeared to be awkward. And I think people wanted clarity because they know what Miss Tina has done. They, of course, know your legacy with Destiny's Child.
Yeah, I'm confused because if someone diminished what Tina does and just say she did the hair, and then I come back and say, no, she did the styling. Isn't that me giving flowers that she did more than,
you know, what we're not going to do is backpedal and pussy pop. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You said what you said in the first interview. He basically brought up the fact that, okay, you know, you and Tina both made contributions to the success of Beyonce, this, that, and the third. And you said, what was her contributions? To which he responded, which was a stupid response. I mean, it was like, oh, she just did the hair. I mean, yeah. She did the hair, she did the styling, she did the imaging of Beyonce, yes. And you also played a part into the, you know, you got her, you took her where she needed to be as a music artist. You get what I'm saying? As far as being their manager, as far as, you know, getting them signed to a label, this, that, and the third, all the trials and tribulations that you've done. But then when he made the comment, it was like, you know, you guys both contributed. That's when you was like, all right, we done with the interview. You get what I'm saying? Like, you know what you were saying in the first place. You were being very dismissive when her name got brought up. Stop acting like it's the, oh, well, I was just trying to school him and tell him that, no, she did more than just the hair. She did the imaging. She did all that. I'm like, sir, this cover up ass interview, child. And then the fact that you want to take legal action for what? You said it. And then you ended the interview prematurely because you didn't like what you said. And that's the issue that I got with Matthew. It's just like when you interview him and you may say something that is not offensive to the average person, but apparently he, for some reason, is offended. You know, he want to sit there and school you. And that's the part that I'm just like, okay, now calm down. We know what you said in the beginning. You were very dismissive of Tina's contributions, and now you're trying to flip the narrative. I know. Just say that Beyonce cursed you out and told you to get on an interview and clear it up. Just say that, okay? Because that's basically what it was, all right? I just thought that was just a really kooky topic. I mean, when you're not managing her no more, child, you just, I mean, he's doing all types of interviews, child. He's doing interviews with everybody, child. I'm not trying to say nothing. But, you know, when that relevancy dies, child, you going to do your little media circuits. I don't have too much to say about that. But we can move on and talk about Cardi B and Tasha K, child. Because we have some information about this. Okay, so Cardi B is demanding that blogger Tasha K show up for an examination of for her finances in person and to turn over her bank records just months after the two ended the battle over the $1 million owed, TMZ has learned. Now, according to Docs, Tasha's bankruptcy case in Florida obtained by TMZ, the rapper is demanding that Tasha's company produce records relating to her income from YouTube and other social media accounts. Cardi also wants copies of Tasha's tax return. I'm like, damn, are you the IRS? The movement comes months after Cardi and Tasha worked out a deal in March 2025 when Tasha agreed to pay a portion of the $3.1 million she owed the rapper. The debt stemmed from the defamation lawsuit and Cardi brought against Tasha over allegations of drug use and bad behavior. According to the deal, Tasha said she would pay $1.2 million over the span of 5 years. Tasha agreed not to trash talk Cardi on social media platforms. The agreement called for Tasha to turn over financial records every quarter. You got this girl by the balls, Cardi. Like, that is crazy. Tasha K is taking a page out of the DL Whisperers book. Okay, Tasha K officially is asking her fans to help dig her out of a multi-million dollar hole. The gossip personality, whose real name is Letitia Kibi, launched a GoFundMe campaign this week, child, aimed to paying off the $3.5 million judgment that she owes the rapper Cardi B despite her massive online following. The fundraiser is off a rocky start, having raised over $1,750 at the time. Yeah, honey, she is pulling a DL Whisper. She's saying, look, I ain't got it and I need y'all help. And y'all gonna give it to her. I just know that you guys are going to give her this money. And it's just like, I mean, she's already raised about, what, $1,000? I don't think it's gonna get to $1 million now. Y'all are crazy. I don't think she got that many fans. But and y'all really gonna donate that much? I mean, y'all donate enough because I'll be seeing her live. Y'all be donating enough when she be on live. She should do like a 24-hour stream and then like, look, people make their little donations. We're going to try to get the money. She is trying to get her every quarter. You have to send over your finances, sis. I think she's going to be paying this girl off for the rest of her life. That is crazy. That's crazy work. But you know what? I said this before, and I'll say this again, Tasha K, this is all because of you and your damn mouth. Your mouth gonna get you in trouble. Your mouth gets you in trouble every time. And how many more lawsuits are you gonna have, child? Because you keep on testing TS, child. She's just waiting on you. She waiting on you to say something, child. She waiting on you if she's not already talking to her legal team right now. Okay, it's Tasha. She got it. She gotta go, honey. She gotta go. I mean, do I feel bad? No. I mean, as a person that gets into celebrity gossip as well, like, this is something that's I'm getting into in a more, you know, I'm starting to grow on here and understand that there's certain things that you just cannot say. That's just because I have a little bit of a journalistic background. Like, I went to school and you can't say things that are not true or speak it as if they are a fact. And she has done that for many years. So it's just like, girl, it's kind of hard to defend your ass. And her personality doesn't make it any better either. But shout out to Cardi. And I don't like Cardi either. I don't. But at the end of the day, child, two people I don't like going after each other, it's a win-win, child. Either whoever loses, child. But anyway, moreover on that, child, we ain't got to talk too much about that, child. What's going on with Jonathan Majors? I feel like we just flying through this show, honey. We just flying through this show. But I wanted to talk about Jonathan Majors because he lost his damn mind. He lost his ever loving mind. Now, I know this is kind of old, but I wanted to talk about it because I'm just like, what the... bruh, what are we doing? So for the first time in years, Jonathan Majors is back on set. Okay, he currently is in South Carolina shooting an untitled action film from the Daily Wire, according to Deadline. Guys, if you don't know, the Daily Wire is a streaming service or a conglomerate of different shows, talk shows. They're starting to get into film and television series and stuff like that. They're like anti-woke and they're conservative and they are family friendly, air quotes, air quotes, air quotes. And it's for basically a streaming service for the conservatives that they can have their content. And it's nothing of any good content. I mean, I'm pretty sure their shows, like their podcasts that they have, like the Ben Shapiro show and other people's, you know, they kind of are the bread and butter. But I'm pretty sure their film work is not any of any good content. But anyway, while the title, plot and other cast members have not been revealed, the movie is being directed by Kyle Rankin, with conservative commentator Ben Shapiro serving as the producers. For those who may not know, Jonathan Majors is found guilty on one count of third degree reckless assault and a charge of harassment in 2023, the domestic violence case involving his ex, Grace Jabbery. Before the incident, the former Marvel star had completed film magazine Dreams, which was originally set in December 8th, 2023. The theatrical release by Searchlight Pictures was shelved following the allegations, and you know, Marvel dropped him and his management dropped him and all that stuff happened after that. He did do like a movie for Zeus Network. It was about some type of bodybuilder. It was like a bodybuilder movie or something like that. And we do have details now from what this movie is going to look like. They said it was going to be like the anti-woke version of Sinners. And then also the guy that played Shazam, because that's the only movie I know him from, that and Chipmunks. He's playing, what is that man named, child? Hold on. Yeah, what is that man? I had to do a quick little Google search. Zachary Levy. Okay. He's going to be co-starring with Jonathan Majors. Like I said, this is going to be like the anti-woke version of Sinners. So I'm guessing they saying that Levy is going to be Jonathan Majors' brother. And they're going to be some vampires and they, I don't even get it. I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't want to get it. I'm not going to watch it. I'll probably watch some clips and laugh at it. But like, if you're trying to just for Daily Wire's concern, right? If you're trying to branch out and be this conglomerate that has like movies that are like anti-woke and conservative and stuff like that, why your first feature film? Right. Feature film, air quotes, air quotes. Why would it be a parody of a movie that's already made? Why not make your own movie? Anybody can make a movie about a vampire. I mean, it is what it is. Like what? And then first of all, y'all are like Christian forward. I mean, like, so is it going to be like a movie about vampires being bad and, you know, oh, we got to slay them in the end? Because, you know, vampires are demons. So it's just like, you know, that goes against y'all religious code if y'all try to make a pop. I'm not even gonna try to dissect what's gonna be at play here. I just know that shit is gonna be trash, and Jonathan Majors, I'm embarrassed for him. I'm embarrassed for him because you went from working for Marvel. Like, when I say the fall from grace is real, you were gonna be the next big bad in the MCU, and you did that dumb shit. And it got you where you are. I mean, you was in Lovecraft Country. It was really happening. It is so crazy how it really was happening for him. I was a really big fan of his, you know, because he really does good. He does a good job. But damn. And then now you're working for Daily Wire. At least it was like you could snag a Tubi role. I know they are. Look, Tubi don't be. Look, Tubi is definitely on the rise. Okay, Tubi is definitely on the rise. So it's not like you ain't gonna not get paid, but I'm pretty sure these people ain't gonna pay you that much either. I mean, unless they paying you really, really good. Like that will be the only justifiable reason why you would do something like this is if they're paying you like they're paying you buku money, which I highly doubt that they're doing. They're probably telling you, look, let me tell you something. You'll never work in this town again. The woke media has definitely X'd you out. We all you got. So you better just take what we're going to give you. And he sat there and took it. I would have stayed with Zeus. I mean, or they did something with them, child. Like this. This is crazy, child. But y'all would tell me, I would definitely keep y'all posted and to see what was going on over there, child. Now, another thing, poor Dean Cole. Why they say Dean Cole is getting like threats from the Barbs, child? Well, y'all know he made that joke at the what award show was this? Oh, child, I think this is the NAACP, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, that NAACP. I did not know that they show the NAACP at BET. I didn't know that, but he basically said that we got to pray for Nikki. Because the stuff that's in her ass is getting to her brain. And he posted a bunch of people that was in his DMs talking about like a bunch of Barbs saying, you better not come for the queen. I'm going to kill you. You're going to end up like Charlie Kirk. It was a lot of stuff. It was a lot of like he is posting it. But my whole thing is this, right, Dean Cole, right? I definitely feel like I don't really care that he made the jokes. You know, Nikki is not really a likable person right now. So I get why she's like the center of all the jokes with the award shows and stuff like that. But also, Dean Cole, you poked a bear and that's what's going to happen, child. I mean, you got to understand that these people got crazy ass fans. Like, you posted it, and it's so crazy. I'm looking at this. You're posting all the comments and oh, wow, someone called you the F-A-G-G-O-T. Wow. Not keep licking Diddy's ass. Oh my goodness. He's posting all this for what? For sympathy? We're not going to give you any sympathy. Like this, I mean, this is what happens, child. And it's going to keep on coming. You know, that's what happens when you talk about somebody that, you know, you talk about a celebrity that a lot of people still freaking love and, you know, she got a cult. So, you know, them cult members are going to sit there and be in your DMs. I had a couple people in my DMs before. Now, they ain't never said no death threats now. I can't wait for that, honey. I cannot wait. Because, honey, I would be floored. I'm like, honey, you want to kill me? Okay. But I did get some people in my DMs talk about something. Oh, why you started talking about Nikki now? Like, why you start talking bad about Nikki now? Yeah, I got people in my comments. Yeah, I was like, oh. Well, in my DMs, I should say. I'm like, oh, y'all are... I was just like that. Now, I wasn't giving out no death threats, but I was definitely coming for people in the DMs and stuff like that. They came for Nikki, but child, we are so glad that we're past that. And also, let's move on. I do want to get a little serious because we got to talk about Britney Spears. What the hell? So I'm going to read this excerpt from USA Today. It says that Britney Spears was believed to be under the influence of a cocktail of drugs and alcohol during a DUI arrest on Wednesday night. Now, officers detained the Princess of Pop on suspicious driving under the influence, a combination of alcohol and drugs around 9:28 p.m. local time in California on a California highway. They were told that she pulled over after allegedly driving a black BMW erratically at a high rate speed while near the Borch Road off-ramp in Newbury Park. Now, Spears, 44, underwent a series of field sobriety tests before she was ultimately arrested and booked into Ventura County Main Jail. Her chemical test results are still pending at the time, but there is more news. Britney Spears may be getting in some more trouble. The singer reportedly had pills in her possession when she was arrested for the DUI, and now those pills are being tested. According to TMZ, the pills are believed to be Adderall that she allegedly obtained while in Mexico. Sources also claim that Britney's frequently travels there, and that one of the reasons is to get medication. You got to get Adderall from Mexico, honey. Now, they claim that the pills are being tested to see if they are pure Adderall or have they contained other substances. They claim drugs obtained by Mexico, sometimes laced with things like fentanyl, cocaine, meth, and other substances, child. I really do feel bad for Miss Britney Spears. I don't know what's going on. Where are the Kardashians? Where are the Kardashians? Because at the end of the day, y'all was parading around with her and in her bed and shit. Trying to act like her friend. Chris, where you at? You freaking handler. Y'all are some goddamn handlers. If I ever saw one, I don't trust those people. Okay, and first of all, pills and Adderall from Mexico. Oh, my girl. My girl is on bath salts. I don't know what's going on. I don't want to be that person, but I feel like we may need to have this conservatorship conversation again. Yes, I know. Look, I know it was bad the first time, and I don't want her family, obviously, controlling her conservatorship because they do not have her best interests. But somebody needs to take control because she's striking out. And it's going to get to the point where she may OD. You get what I'm saying? If she getting Adderall from goddamn Mexico, you know it's ain't no damn Adderall. You know it's some stuff else in there. Like, she's just like, I remember I had a co-host on here that we talked about how, you know, and he said that I think we may have let Britney free, but she may have needed to be, she may need to still be in conservatorship because she's not well. She's very not well. And that's not to say we need, like I said, her family to be in the conservatorship. Sometimes maybe the state needs to have control over her or something because she's out of control. She's out of control and she's driving while under the influence. She could have hit somebody. She could have killed somebody. She could have killed herself. Like, that was a very surprising and scary topic. I don't know, honey. I really don't know. Now, anyway, I do want to talk about Timothy Chalamet because he kind of put his foot in his mouth earlier this week. Members of the ballet and opera community had a word with Timothy Chalamet following his comments about the cultural relevance of classical performing arts. The Dune star sat with Matthew McConaughey recently. I think it was a Variety town hall in which he made some comments about the ballet and opera community. Let's go ahead and take a listen to what he said.
Act one, though.
Okay.
In this day of shorter attention spans and vertical 12-second spots, are we losing attention and patience for act ones, because it's the first thing that gets cut. It's the first thing that a studio wants to get rid of. I'm seeing act two more and more start on frickin' page 12. I'm seeing series that, 10-part series that, bam, act one's over, 32 minutes into the opening episode, and you're off on the conflict right away. And I'm going, it feels abbreviated to me. Am I feeling something?
I think you are, but I think I've observed like a duo phenomena where the majority of stuff is getting pushed in that direction. I think I saw an article about a Netflix sort of production guideline, not for all movies, I don't want to speak disparagingly, but where they want their biggest action set pieces up front. The logic used to be you save your big action set piece for the end of a movie and you save the fireworks for the end, but now they want something up front. I also think there's sort of a reverse thing going on too now. I don't want to speak for people that are here that are younger than me, where people are desiring things that are more patient and that pull you in. I just saw another article that says Gen Z is a bigger movie going audience than a millennial audience, you know? I feel like a fucking grandpa saying that. But point being, I think even like Frankenstein, which is like a hugely popular movie this year, I didn't think that pacing was extraordinarily fast or anything, but it pulled people in, you know? But it does take you having to wave a flag of, hey, this is a serious movie or something. And some people want to be entertained and quickly. I'm really right in the middle, Matthew, because I admire people and I've done it myself to go on a talk show and go, hey, we got to keep movie theaters alive. You know, we got to keep this genre alive. And another part of me feels like if people want to see it, like Barbie, like Oppenheimer, they're going to go see it and go out of their way to be loud and proud about it. And I don't want to be working in ballet or opera or, you know, things where it's like, hey, keep this thing alive, even though no one cares about this anymore. All respect to the ballet and opera people out there. I just lost 14 cents in viewership. But Damn, I just took shots for no reason.
That's we'll not see. A shot. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
So.
Oof. Yeah. So the Royal Ballet and Opera countered the actor's take and made a statement. They said ballet and opera have never existed in isolation. They have continuously informed, inspired, and evaluated other forms of art. Their influence can be felt across theater, film, temporary music, fashion, and beyond. There was a lot of people that talked about, a lot of people in the ballet and opera scene that spoke out. There were some other actors that spoke out against him. I think Jamie Lynn Curtis, she said something, or she reposted something. I mean, social media came for him. Other actors came for him. You know, a lot of people, they did not care about what he said. What he said was completely asinine. There's no doubt about that. But for him to sit there and say that, I had to like watch a good chunk of the interview to get the context of what he was trying to say. So he was saying that, I don't ever want to get, basically in a nutshell, I'm paraphrasing, I don't ever want to get to a point where I have, where I'm, you know, film is losing cultural relevance. And I'm saying we got to keep film alive. Like, I don't want to be like those people that say we got to keep ballet and opera alive. Like, he's trying to compare that to that. And it's just so crazy to me, because if ballet really wasn't what it was, if it really doesn't have the cultural relevance, the ticket prices would not range from $40 to $150. That's way more expensive than seeing any of your movies. Actually, it's very cheap to see a movie now. They're trying to keep people in those theaters because people are not staying. People are not freaking going and watching new films. They're watching existing IPs and sequels. So, really, whose culture is dying? Whose medium is really dying? You get what I'm saying? It's very expensive. Let me tell you something. Rich people gonna always go and see a ballet show. They're always gonna go out and see an opera show. They're like people with wealth far beyond me and far beyond Timothy Chalamet. Because let's be very clear, a lot of these actors nowadays ain't really making that much money, child. They just make it look good. You get what I'm saying? They are always going to keep ballet and opera alive. And you just don't see it because you live in a popcorn reality and that, you know, everything that's on social media is inherently relevant. I find it interesting that a lot of people came to the realization that Timothy is not like this artsy fartsy actor that we all thought that he was. I never thought he was. I thought that he did a lot of roles that, you know, people would look at like, oh my God, like he really did his big one here. Like, I mean, people like freaking salivate at the mouth with Marty Supreme. And I was seeing some of them clips in there. I'm like, this is Timothy Chalamet being Timothy Chalamet in a movie. There's never been a film, and I don't mean to dig into him a little bit but we're going to have to dig into him a little bit. There's never been a Timothy Chalamet film where I felt like, wow, like he completely, I don't even notice him in this role. He's become the character 100%. There's not a single Timothy Chalamet movie in which that is the case. And you can fight me in the comments if you want to. You're going to be fighting with yourselves. And I know that's the goddamn truth. I was mad that he freaking ruined freaking Wonka for me. Because let me say something. I'm a big Willy Wonka, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory fan. That was, you know, I read the book, everything. You haven't surpassed Johnny Depp. I'm sorry. I'm still watching the Johnny Depp movie. You get what I'm saying? Like, and that's an actor that knows how to turn into the character. So yeah, no. Y'all like to hype him up. I say this every time. Y'all like to hype him up. And now y'all see what he really about. And I think that it's going to come a time where after AI is really taking y'all jobs, y'all gotta come back to performing artists. And people said that as well. They said, you know, actors that want to get the look of edgy, they always go to performing arts. I'm telling you right now, in a few years, when his steam kind of dies out, he's going to be going into performing arts. I don't think he'll do any ballet. I don't think he'll do any opera, of course. But I can definitely see him doing some playwrights. Maybe even a Broadway show. Who knows? You get what I'm saying? Like, I just thought that it was, like I said, I thought it was very asinine. At the end of the day, ballet and opera have been around for many generations, have been around for many years, and they will be around for many more years. Long before film is done, long before people, you know, just stop wanting, people will see stuff online. They don't know what's real or fake. They want to go to the real. They want to go to, they'll turn to performing art again. And from a statistical standpoint, there's a lot of people that are that will show up in droves for a ballet show, for an opera show. You get what I'm saying? We cannot say the same for film. We can't. I know we're going to have an Oscars. Oscars is coming up real soon. But really, there really wasn't any films that we that really gave it to us. You get what I'm saying? Like, you can say Marty Supreme. You can say, okay, Wicked. You can say Sinners, this, that, and the third. They did their thing, but like, really, like, and the Oscars are going to award, you know, mediocre or whatever, mediocre movies and stuff like that. But like, there really wasn't, we really didn't have a good year of movies, and we haven't had a good year of movies in a long time. I think that would have been like a real conversation that Timothy could have had with Matthew McConaughey. I mean, the way it kind of started off was interesting because they were talking about how they get rid of first acts. They get rid of the first act of the movie. They want to jump right to the action. And that kind of kills the movie because, you know, you want to let that shit simmer. You want to let that shit process before we want to get into the action. I thought that was a really interesting conversation that Matthew McConaughey started. See, I feel like Matthew saw what he said and was like, you know what? You look stupid as hell. I'm going to say, you know what? If you like it, I love it. Because what you just said was some dumb ass shit. And I'm going to just let you, I'm going to let you look dumb. Ciao. It's just a whole mess. I thought that was just an interesting topic, but we can move on, Chad. Moving forward. Now, is this it? Is this all the topics? Well, yeah. I know we still got more topics to go, girl. I do want to talk about Nicki Minaj's sister, though, right? Because she was at Cardi B concert, dancing it up, doing all the things. You get what I'm saying? And was posting about it. And, you know, she commented back at some people, basically saying, let me get, she said, pick a side, no side. Who said I can't love both? Y'all just want drama. Ain't nobody but fans going to say this at the third. At the end of the day, we all grown and some drama and whatever is not finna matter in the future. This at the third. Okay. Yeah. No, because they was coming for her. There was even some Barty gang people that was even saying like, girl, Hennessy would never show up to a Nicki show. That's some ho shit. You get what I'm saying? She did also make a comment that I thought I wanted to make clear as well. Ming Lee was like, babe, my own sister called me a clown and a mooch and y'all still support. Couldn't even tell y'all who her real daddy was. Please, I post what I want and y'all choose to take it to offense of for what? A woman who wouldn't even piss in a bucket if I was thirsty. Okay, well, okay, ill, but okay. You know, I remember when Nicki talked about her sister. It was very, very, very nasty. It was very like, I get that when you are like the most famous person in the family and, you know, people want a piece of that. But that's your sister. For you to sit there and call her a mooch. And of course, we don't know what's going on behind closed doors. We don't know what she tried to do or was she really mooching off of Nicki. Or I think she probably said, I want a career in music. And you said no. And you said, I'm not going to help you. I think that's what happened. So I think that but for Ming Lee, girl, don't act like you didn't sit there and went to that concert with the intention to post about it. To be shady. Like, come on. Let's not act like that wasn't the thing. You wanted to be shady. And, you know, you got the clout that you were asking for. And they were coming for you. And the barbs were saying what they were saying. And you get no response from Nicki, of course. I'm so glad. She has not been talking, Cham. Because I think even Cardi B responded. And she said, look, I don't want no parts of this. You know, I'm not going to comfort nobody because they came to my show. They came to see me. But sis looked like she need guidance. Even she understood, like, girl, you know, that's your sister at the end of the day. Like, whatever y'all had going on, you know, you wanted to, you did that to spite her. You know exactly. They had an explosive back and forth last year recently. They had an explosive back and forth, and then you gonna go to her concert. It's one thing to go to her concert, but then you posted about it. And you posted it on social media. Like, did you expect nobody to not say nothing? You do not know how crazy that is, girl. Like, girl, she lives in delusions. And that's probably why Nikki probably was like, girl, I ain't got nothing for you. But you know what? She always gave Barty gang. If you want to, like, she act like Cardi. She kind of act like Cardi, like how Cardi used to act back in the beginning, back in the Love & Hip Hop days. She do. Anyway, child, I just wanted to bring that up. The Breakfast Club is over, honey. It is over, girl. Well, look, here's the thing. A lot of people were talking about The Breakfast Club and how their deal with Netflix is not good, just hilarious. She spoke out. She believes that The Breakfast Club's jump to Netflix wasn't the best move, especially with the chatter about declining viewership. Social media is now debating whether the platform switch could hurt the brand or help the brand. This is essentially what Just Hilarious said, right?
I ain't gonna lie, yo, since Breakfast Club been on Netflix, man, our engagement, our people be, all the fans that we built up over time, well, that they built up, I just got here, that they built up over time on YouTube, oh my God, they feel neglected because Netflix was like, nope, we want all of it. Y'all can't have no other social media presence, none. So now we got to find other content to do that can go on our other platforms. But it's okay because Just Hilarious got that in a bag, shorty. So make sure y'all tune into Jess's Thoughts.
Girl, Jess's Starts, honey. Okay, so for a bit of context, in late 2025, iHeartRadio and Netflix inked a massive multi-million dollar deal with the video versions of the 15 podcasts led by The Breakfast Club exclusively to the streaming giant starting in early 2026. Netflix deal marks a new era for the show, but if the internal chemistry doesn't settle, it might be a rocky premiere. Let me tell you something. That was the dumbest deal that they ever could have signed. And I think that the only person, because I mean, I did hear what Tasha K had to say. Like, she said that that $1 million deal ain't really that $1 million deal. Like, they really didn't get it. They didn't pocket it. I know Jess and Lauren LaRosa and maybe DJ Envy didn't get anything, but I think the person that had the best deal probably was Charlamagne. Charlamagne was trying to can this show for years. He was trying to can this show so he can do other things. He wanted to change the media. He wanted to change his presence. He did not want to be a shock jock radio host for the rest of his life. He wanted to be more political and more serious in this, that, and the third. So I think that he can care less if this shit sink or swim, because he's just going to go to the next thing. Now, it's bad for Jess Hilarious because Jess can't even do Jess with the Mess. Like, you signed that away, girl. Like, that's your iconic thing that was on social media. Like, that's crazy. But also what's crazy is, like, there's no way for you guys to have a presence on social media, which makes no sense because that was the point of The Breakfast Club. It was a back and forth conversation. It was, you had a comment section, blogs would repost. That's how y'all would get y'all views up, because at the end of the day, y'all have these viral clips and the blogs were reposted. At the end of the day, there's no way for them to get clips because you can't screen record on Netflix. And even if you try to get it through internally, it's going to take a long time for them to get that content. That's if Netflix allows them to use their clips. And then story's old now, who cares anymore? You get what I'm saying? Like, they should have had it set in stone that, okay, this is going to be an option for us to have it on YouTube and also still have it on Netflix, or maybe do it in a way that you still post in some way, shape, or form, maybe clips on YouTube, and then like the full episodes will be, because nobody really watches full episodes, right? Like, people watch it for the interviews and people watch it for that. But like, I'm not tuning on, and I got Netflix, but I'm not going on to Netflix and being like, let me just see what's going on The Breakfast Club. Like, that is, I feel like podcasting and radio stuff, then they need to stay within the radio genre, within like Spotify or whatever the case is, like that type of media. It should never go to a streaming platform that's traditionally for TV shows and movies. That's just not a good combination. Nobody's going to leave free YouTube to go to paid Netflix. Like, it's not going to happen. And I haven't been seeing any clips from any recent Breakfast Club interviews, episodes, or anything. And what's going to happen is it's going to tank the show. Netflix is going to be like, well, we're going to have to cancel y'all because y'all ain't got no ratings. And then what happens? They own your IP and now you can't even use the shit no more because they canceled it. This is going to be the death of the Breakfast Club. Now this will be, I think that their radio show, they still have radio. They still premiere on the streams and stuff like that. So their ratings on radio will still be there, but their presence on social media is going to be tanked. This is a telltale child. Look, let me tell you something. I remember back in the day when I first started doing podcasting and stuff like that, I said, you know what? Where's my pen? I'm a sign. First chance I get, I'm a sign. Yeah, no, I don't know. I mean, I think I might do a partnership, if anything, or, you know, management or something, but like signing the show away? Oh, no. Mm-mm. I don't know if I could ever do that because then you get into situations like this. Yeah. But anyway, that is it for the show. I was going to talk about 50 Cent and how he want to make a surviving T.I. and Tiny, but I'm so sick of 50 Cent and his bullshit, child. I have nothing for 50. That is it for this episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. I will try to do a weekly app. I will try to do one on Wednesday if some more topics come up. And so I will see you guys next time. And yeah, definitely leave a comment and smash that like button right now. And I will see you guys next time.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.